This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation going. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from John chapter 5, verse 30. This is Jesus talking. He says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me."
That's a huge theme in the Gospel of John is Jesus's, I don't want to say dependence, but his, I guess, integral relationship with the Father. And he says stuff like that. Imagine the king of creation. Imagine the king of the universe, Jesus Christ himself, who made the universe, spoke it into existence, saying, "By myself, I can't do anything."
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine not only the humility, but just the reality of what he's saying is that he and the Father are so ingrained in one another that they are literally inseparable.
Yeah.
They can't be apart from one another.
Yeah.
And they can't be broken.
He gives us the picture there of how we ought to be approaching life is that we don't seek our own will. We seek God the Father's.
That's right.
Just like Christ did when he was here. Yes, Jesus and God. I mean, you can get into discussions about the Trinity. Jesus is God, but he's got the Son. How does the Son relate to the Father? That's a whole different discussion. But he's saying the posture of humanity is to seek not our will, but the will of our Father.
100%.
Jesus lays that out for us, and he paints the picture of how we ought to live our life.
That's right. And part of that involves just being in your Bible every single day, reading the Word of God. And we have an app that will help you do that. It's not our app, but they are an app that has partnered with the show, sponsored with the show. It's called the Date the Word app. Every single verse that we read is from that app every day. You can get it for free on iTunes. Why do I keep saying iTunes? You can get it for free on iPhone or Android right now.
Probably not on iTunes.
Not on iTunes. Well, I don't know. I don't even know if iTunes is a thing anymore. I think it's just Apple Music,
yeah.
But I'm still calling it iTunes. But you can get it for free on your phone right now. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of getting it more memorable for you. All right, Ryan.
Yes.
I had someone write into the show. I was really excited about this one. On its face, it's kind of bland, but I think it's really subtly funny.
Okay.
You get a million dollars.
Okay.
Anytime you see someone eating a burrito, if it's at home, if it's out in public, wherever it is, if you see someone eating a burrito, you have to walk up to them and be like, "Hey, can I show you something real quick?" And no matter what they answer, whether they say yes or no, you just unfold their burrito and walk away. That's all you do. You don't mess with it. You just unfold it completely and just walk away. You're just like a little...
I'm just trying to picture myself, like, how would I respond if someone did this to me?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like at worst case scenario, you just go get another burrito. They don't like crumble it up. They don't like mash it down. They just like, "Hey, can I just give you a little, can I give you a little hint? Like a little, and you just unfold it, lay it out, and leave.
I feel like this would come up often because we often will go to Mexican
restaurants. We eat a lot of Mexican food here at Church. Dr. Shaw loves Mexican food.
How much? Million?
Yeah, just $1 million.
I take it.
Yeah.
I take it. Just, hey, can I show you something real quick?
Yeah. Now, if you're at a restaurant with your family and you see someone else, now you got to walk. Do you walk out? Do you go back to your table and like risk a confrontation with this person?
Can I time it to where we're getting ready to leave?
Yes, of course. You just have to do it. So, yeah, so it's like, but I mean, think about this now. Think of that. You're in a Mexican, like you're in a Moe's or something. And there's like five people
That's
eating burritos.
Lots of burritos.
That's a lot of burritos. You got to go from one to go do it to someone else. And then you're like, hey, can I show you something? Like, I just saw you unfold that person's burrito. You got to unfold their burrito before you leave.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll
take it. Sure.
Okay.
I'd do it.
Would you take that, David?
Do I have to, you said I have to see it?
If you see someone eating a burrito, yes.
Can I go into restaurants where I know there are going to be burritos wearing like sunglasses, but they're just covered up completely and have somebody guide me around?
Why wouldn't you just go blindfolded?
Well, because I don't want to look like a dummy.
So you want to impersonate a blind person?
No. If I wear glasses,
so he can't see the burritos.
I understand that, but you, if you also,
I would wear
blindfolded,
like sunglasses, right? And then on the inside of the sunglasses would be there would be something like to cover.
But if you have someone leading you around, you're gonna look blind.
Well, I might just try to find my way around. I'll use my eyes to look at my feet and see like where I'm walking.
You're the person who wants to fist fight a bison, but you're too scared to unfold a stranger's burrito.
Well, it's not that. I'll fist fight a bison because I know I'll beat it. I don't want to unfold a stranger's burrito
because you might not beat them.
Because if they fight me, then I don't want to beat them. I don't want to have to beat them.
Got you.
I want it just to be a peaceful burrito interaction.
Sure.
Where you unfold it and walk away.
Right.
Right. Now, if all of them are peaceful, then sure. But if somebody starts trying to bow up,
you don't want to have to put the hurt on.
I don't want to have to fight.
I don't want to have to knock
somebody
out.
I will, but I don't want to.
You know what I'm saying?
So did you say bow up?
Bow up? Yeah, if somebody bows up.
I just haven't heard. That's an old people term.
Yeah, to bow up somebody.
Yeah, to bow up. I would take the money. I would take the money, yeah, and I would unfold people's burritos.
Yep.
Yeah. Nick, would you do it, buddy? You wouldn't do it.
Nick would not do it.
Okay. Well,
I wonder if Dr. Shaw would take that.
Yeah.
I think he
would do most anything for $1 million. I need a on this sound thing. I need like a
cha-ching. A cha-ching.
Yeah, I don't have. Let's see. What's the closest thing I have to a cha-ching?
$1 million thrown up in the air.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Yeah, no, I would do it. I would 100% do it.
Yeah. Brandon, let us know if you would take that. $1 million, but you have to unfold every burrito that you see. Hey, can I show you something?
Yeah, yeah, you gotta set it up too. Like it's a fun trick.
Yeah.
Like you don't just go up and like do it. You have to be like, hey, what's going on? My name's Ryan. My name's Dr. Shaw. Let me just show you this right here.
And then walk away.
What if someone did that to you?
I think I would just be so dumbfounded that I wouldn't do anything. I'd just be like, what just happened?
Then you try to stand up for yourself. Hey! They're gone.
In a cloud of $1 million, they just leave. 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Elizabeth, my darling bride, what would you say is the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself in the morning?
Probably drink an entire pot of coffee when sitting.
I'd say that's a close second. No, the best thing you can do for yourself is to start every morning with a daily devotional.
Only we had one to talk about.
Well, as it turns out, we have two.
Right now, you can unlock the power of daily inspiration, wisdom, and spiritual growth in our devotional series, 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning. Written by our pastor, Dr. Abaddon Shaw, and his wife, Nicole, the 30 Days devotional series is designed to reveal new biblical truths every single day.
That's right, and every day is a new revelation to guide you on your Christian journey toward a more meaningful and purposeful life. You can pick up your copy today from our website, that's clearviewbc.org, or you can grab both books on Amazon, Apple Books, and Audible.
That's 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning by Abaddon and Nicole Shaw. And don't forget, these are only the first two in an expanding devotional series, so keep your eyes peeled for future installments.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shaw, we are back in the studio once again. So good to see you today.
You as well.
I'm going to give you $1 million, my friend. That's a lot of money.
Okay.
This is one that was posed to me a number of weeks ago, and I meant to do it on the show, and I completely forgot to do it.
Okay.
$1 million. Anytime you see somebody eating a burrito, you have to be like, hey, can I just give you a little piece of advice? Can I show you a trick? And they're like, yeah, yeah, sure. You just have to unfold their burrito. That's all. That's
and
all.
Just kind of like
just unfold it. Yeah. And be like, there you go. That's it. You have to ask permission, and they'll always they'll always tell you, yeah, it's all good.
And how much do I get? $1 million?
You get $1 million.
And how long do I have to do this?
That's for life. So anytime you see someone
eat a burrito around
so
you.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like imagine if it's Nicole, it's like whatever. That might be kind of funny. But you're out at the mall. You're at like the food court.
So there's a potential you're gonna get punched, cussed out.
You could. I mean, you can run away after, or you could. If you're a millionaire, you can hire a bodyguard.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can I pay someone else to do
it? Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That's true.
Yeah, you can pay someone else.
I'll take it.
Pay someone else to take your looks
for
you.
I know people like that who would do it for like, hey, every time we do this, $10.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, sure.
Absolutely.
To me, that's really funny where it's just like, hey, can I just give you, like at the gym, people come up, can I just give you some helpful advice? You're like, yeah, sure. You just unfold the burrito.
And that's it.
Just walk away, yeah.
I think most of the time people would just be so stunned that they wouldn't react.
Yeah, like, true.
What just happened?
Yeah.
Is that real?
It depends on who it is. Some people will just let you have it.
It's dangerous for us because we eat Mexican food a lot.
We do.
We love. I love Mexican food. I'm the type of person, I'll eat the same thing over and over for a week and never, ever get tired of it.
Yeah.
And there was a
I've been eating the beefsteak picado for, good night, like 15 years.
Yeah.
Really?
It's good. Look, man, it's just good.
You find something that works, I mean, you don't want to deviate too far from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely had places where I've actually had people come up to my table. They haven't like touched my food, but I've had people come up to my table before. I think we were at Olive Garden one time and they were like, hey, you know, you shouldn't be ordering that. And I was like, what? They were like, yeah, you shouldn't be ordering that. It's way overpriced. They don't make it good here. I was like, get the heck out of here.
It's not your business.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of here.
Who do you think you are trying to come to my food rescue?
I wonder if someone paid him $1 million to do it, though.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. Next time, be like, can I check your pockets real quick? Do you have $1 million stashed in there?
David texted and said you could pay him to be your body. He would happily do it.
You're hired.
Yeah.
Where's the $1 million?
Yeah, just unfold people's burritos.
No problem. For $10, we would
that. Yeah, you may need some rescue, though, after. You may need someone to come to your rescue if you go around doing that. Yeah.
You could pay
You may have to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To protect you.
The bodyguard for the bodyguard. You can pay someone to come to your rescue. But, you know, a lot of times when we're in trouble, we desire that rescue. We desire someone to come and meet us where we are at our time of need. And that's exactly what God does for us.
That's true.
And we're going to talk some more about that today. But in light of that, Dr. Shaw, what is our daily encouragement for our listeners today?
Well, rescuing feels weak.
Mm-hmm. True.
To be rescued feels weak.
Mm.
But not when it comes to God being your rescuer.
Yeah.
And many times we're trying to do things in our own strength, in our own power, staying up all hours of the night, trying to fix a situation. Here's a suggestion. Take it to God in prayer.
That's right.
Let him rescue you.
Mm.
And that rescue may not be immediate resolve of that problem, a resolution of that problem. It may take time. It may take some ends and bends. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But God will rescue you in his timing.
That's right.
And just trust him.
That's right. And it's funny because when I think of people rescuing, I always think of those like videos of moms where like the baby's about to fall off the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom like is doing a dive bomb.
Parent reflexes real quick.
And then they have to take all that time to be like, oh my heart. Oh, I'm so but God is never like that. It's not like God rescues us and he's like, oh, thank goodness I made it just in time. It's like from the very beginning of time, he knew every instance where you would have to be
rescued. In fact, the primary way we encounter God is in times of trouble when he comes to our rescue.
That's right.
That's the whole idea of salvation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Salvation involves saving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saving means rescuing.
That's right.
So, yes, there are people who talk about God being holy and God being loving and God being creative and God being the provider. And all those things are great. But ultimately, he's the rescuer.
Right.
And all those other attributes sort of flow into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to ever lose sight of that. He is the rescuer. He is the saver.
That's true. That's true. And our worship, you know what I mean? When we gather together, we worship God. That's just a natural outcome of people who have been so awed by God's rescue in his life. I know for me, like the fact that, and this is so cliche, oh, God saved an old sinner boy like me. But at the same time, There's like there's some to truth it. To it. Yeah. Like when I think, when I really take a reflective look of who I was, the things I did, and the attitude that I had even towards God, the fact that he would still save me, like the only response I have is to worship him.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. I can't be like, hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like I have to devote my heart and my soul and my life to God for doing that.
I just think about it from a parenting perspective. Sometimes when you have to like go and repeatedly rescue your kids, your kid is like, you know, a little one that kind of toddles too close to the edge of something, or they, you know, trying to pull a chair down on them. Eventually you're going to be like, all right, come here, come here. I'll save you again. But that's not the way God is with us.
No.
There was a quote in Star Wars Episode 1 where Qui-Gon Jinn saves Jar Jar's life, and he goes down to the Gungans and he's like, yeah, I saved his life. His life belongs to me now. And I remember as a kid thinking that was actually how it worked in the world, and then having to relearn that in Christianity, being like, no, that is true. My life, you saved my life. My life belongs to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I don't know why that quote always stuck out to me, but I try to live my life that way, where God is telling me, hey, I want you to go this direction in your life. It's like, I don't want to. It's like,
my life isn't mine.
My life is not mine.
But and if you truly understand what you said just a few moments ago, that God saved someone like me, if we truly understand that concept that I was dead in trespasses and sins, I had no hope. He made me. He sent his son to die on the cross for me, to give his life for me, to be my substitute, to take my sins upon himself, and not just mine, but the whole world. But this is personal right now. So my sins upon himself, he did all of that. He conquered sin and the grave. So not just sin, but also the grave. He died my death, and he's alive today. I mean, the whole idea should so overwhelm us that we launch into praise.
Yeah.
And there are people who are not perfect, but they at least have that concept down. I have a lot of respect for them. Because when they worship, whatever style of music it is, it doesn't matter. It's coming from the heart.
Yeah.
So I've seen people with, you know, Southern gospel singing that way, what it means to be saved. And I'm like, yep, I like that.
Yeah.
I have seen people singing gospel music, like more, you know, the R&B style. Mm-hmm. But they get it. And you can see tears. And it's not just their voice or their ability and talents, but it's just from their heart, they're singing, God, you saved me.
That's right.
And then I've seen people singing like that in India, completely different genre of music, but singing, and it comes from the heart. African music, European music, but it once people truly sing with that in mind, it's real.
Yeah.
True.
And it really gets to the heart of God.
There's a good conversation to be had there, because, you know, our album is coming out very, very soon. It'll be out maybe hopefully in the next couple of weeks for you guys to be hearing. But those songs are prayerfully considered in light of heaven. You know, heaven is our theme, but also salvation and that sort of that. What am I trying to say? That premise that you're setting up there, which is I was in need of salvation. I was in desperate need. And having Dr. Shah help us write those songs was a real help, because it brings in that element, not just of sound doctrine, but of need and fulfillment.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we need heaven.
Yeah.
That's
we can't, it's not like a fun thing that we get to go do. Mm-hmm. We need it for our souls.
Yeah. That need unifies us. I remember there was one time where I was on a tour with the choir that I was in college, and we went to Austria, and we were seeing all these choir type hymns in these really old cathedral buildings. But there was one time where we were sitting on the street corner and we heard familiar music, but not in English. So we were listening, and I was like, they're singing like modern, like contemporary worship songs, but it was in Austrian. And so we walked over to them and they were singing. And then, so we joined in because we knew the song in English. So we started singing with them, and they were singing in a different language, but we were singing the same song together. And it was just this profound moment where we're on opposite sides of the globe.
Yeah.
But we're united in our need for a savior.
So do you remember when we were in Israel at the Garden Tomb?
Yes.
And we heard worshiping coming from that upper room. There were some things on that trip that really reminded me about the heart of worship, because there was also some things on that trip that reminded us that worship can be falsely manufactured. You know what I mean? Like there were a couple of places where we went where it felt like there were some people who were trying to create false moments of depth, and it just didn't feel genuine. And it was like, this is, it was kind of confusing because it's like, this is the place where it should feel genuine. And then going to the Garden Tomb and hearing it, it wasn't even coming from me. It wasn't coming from anyone in our group, but we heard it coming from that upper room. And that was a moment where I felt like God spoke to me and said, hey, look, just as I've rescued you, I've rescued them. And you're going to learn something from their worship.
Right.
Even if you're not up there part of it, taking part, you're just going to hear it.
That's right. Wow. That's right. Well, Peter, in his epistle, the first epistle, First Peter, he quotes from Psalm 34, where David not only thanks God for coming to his rescue, but also reminds others around him to do the same.
That's right.
I mean, that's what Psalm 34 is about. And in Psalm 34, as you know, it's a Psalm of David. The preamble begins with a Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And so the literal translation is when he changed his taste before Abimelech.
Wow.
So it really changed his personality because fear came in and doubt and stress came in. And so it is referring to 1 Samuel 21, where David ended up being in Philistine territory,
right,
thinking he'll be safe there. And very quickly, the servants of Achish, king of Gath, recognized him, and they try to tell the king, but the king only could see David's acting.
Yeah, some madman.
His act, which is what lunatic. David did. You know, he began to foam at the mouth and act all crazy.
Crazy person.
And began to, drool down. And the king, I love his statement, is like, have I need of any madmen that you bring this to me? Should I take him home with me?
Yeah, maybe he can stay in my bed. Maybe he can just...
I have enough crazy people to deal with. Don't bring me one more.
He's a stressed out king.
Yeah. I can't get over that. That's just in the word of God, this whole episode.
You know, the book is so relevant. The Bible is such a relevant word of God that it's like something somebody would say today.
Yeah.
When you're really stressed out and somebody brings something like that at that moment, it's like, do I need this?
Yeah.
Do I need it now? What should I do? Take him out?
Yeah.
He's like rubbing his temples. He's like, y'all really thought I needed this now.
He does that thing where he pinches the bridge of his nose like.
Yeah. He's like rubbing his eyes. He's like, why now? Of all days, y'all couldn't have brought it last week at my birthday. It's got to be now.
And you couldn't have brought me somebody who is like adept and well-mannered and well-spoken. You brought me the village idiot.
Yeah. What I like about it too is that it's not pointless.
Yeah.
Like it gave us Psalm 34. It gave us these Psalms that are like so deep and so profound. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know, like the last couple episodes, you've been talking about the eagle moments and the hippo moments.
Yes.
And I feel as though, and maybe this is God's way, I've never really learned a lot from the eagle moments until the hippo moments came.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I acted like that in the eagle moment, but the hippo moment is what taught me.
Yep. And always be careful about the eagle moment, because sooner or later you're going to land.
Yeah, true.
When you land, what is it going to look like?
It hurts. Yeah, it's going to hurt.
Great reminder. Eagles don't fly forever.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
And if you land and it looks like a hippo, then you know what was happening.
Right. Yep. That's right.
So here, thank goodness, David doesn't land like a hippo because he goes from being a hippo to being an eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because God takes him from there. He departed from there. This is 1 Samuel 22:1. And he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And as you know, as he is sitting there waiting at the cave of Adullam, that all the discontented, stressed out, indebted people show up.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes the head over them.
Mm.
And these are the ones who would go out and kill 300 with one spear, kill giants, and even kill a lion in a pit on a snowy day.
Mm-hmm. These guys weren't messing around.
And this all came from David's foolish behavior in Gath. This all came from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So somebody today needs to take hope and take heart that if you are in that foolish moment, you're foaming at the mouth and you're doing things that are so contrary to who you know you are and who God has made you to be, but now you're acting like a fool, just take heart. The day will end.
Mm-hmm.
A new day will begin.
That's right.
And God has great things in store for you.
I think that's the key right there, because my human advice would be, don't worry, you're stronger than you think. You'll get out of this. But really, it's the truth of what you said, is God is coming. God's going to come to your rescue.
Right. Just look to him. He's not going to let this be your last day.
That's right.
This may be a bad day, but he's going to turn it for something good.
Yeah.
Don't lose heart.
So good. Like David was in his hippo moment era. He was firmly in the middle of a hippo moment. But because of that, God led all these people to him. I mean, without that moment, could that have still happened? Yes, of course, God could have still worked it out. But God worked it out in such a way that David still went through the embarrassment.
Yeah.
And walked out on the other side with these men fighting alongside him.
Mm-hmm. But it was not immediate. It's not like he left Gath and next thing you know, he's at Adullam and all these people are coming and it's like, oh, okay, so it worked out.
It all worked out. I should do that more often.
Yeah.
I thought for a second there it was going to be really bad.
Yeah. And it's not like that because what happens here is that he had to come right through David asked the question. He said, "Our David, can hippo moments be hippo years?" I would say so. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Moment is an unspecified amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a decade.
Like, yeah, for God, that's only a moment. But yeah, for us, it could look
it take a little
long.
Time.
Yeah. Yep.
But he had to come right through the Elah Valley, mm-hmm. the place where he had fought against Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think he was feeling?
Oh, bro, I can't imagine. I was thinking about that. That's really, really poetic that he has to go through that same valley that he... Mm-hmm. In a sense, conquered the world.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're still talking about David and Goliath today.
Yeah,
and that's like his huge eagle moment, and then having to pass
he's
through,
just walking
with this.
Through, seeing those sights, and those memories are flooding back
as a hippo.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's not seeing it as an eagle. He's seeing it as a hippo.
100%.
He hangs his head like, "What am I doing?
Right?
What did I just do?
What's wrong with me?
Like he looks over and sees that younger version of himself, like dancing and cheering before all Israel and stuff, and then having to walk through and that." Kind of ghost fades away. Yeah, there's a movie scene there.
And there's someone who's listening or watching today who's had that Gath moment where you, in your marriage or with your children or with your parents or in your ministry or in your workplace, somewhere you had a moment where, when I say moment, it could be a longer period of time where you did not live up to the person God has made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You are embarrassed of that moment. You are disappointed with yourself. And it may not be like sin.
Right.
It may just be where you did something. Now it's like it haunts you. It's like, wow, why did I lose my temper there? Or why did I act so weak?
Mm-hmm.
Or why did I not know what to say in that moment? I said something stupid. Now I have to live with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I acted like a fool. Or I just dropped the ball.
Mm.
Whatever that Gath moment is, just know that God is taking you through a journey.
That's right.
And that is not the end of it.
Yeah.
And he will take you through this. And so in Psalm 142, it says a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave.
Mm, true. It's funny because we think a lot of times we picture David as just that brute
mm-hmm.
or that lucky little boy who killed Goliath, the warrior. But we forget he was very artistically minded.
Yes,
like
yeah.
he knew as he was walking through
right.
what was up. He knew what God was doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So on his way from Gath through Elah Valley, seeing the place, now headed to the cave of Adullam. When he sits down there, listen to what he says in Psalm 142. Maybe Ron can read it for us.
Okay. Verse 1 starts, "I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me."
It feels like my son just said this to me this morning, like when he couldn't have a Pop-Tart for breakfast. Like, this sounds just like Gavin.
Deliver me from my persecutors,
No one
Lord.
Cares for me. No one loves me.
But I mean, you know, he's sharing his heart to God. And
that's
it's
right.
okay when you're coming out of those hippo moments to say, God, I don't know where I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I do know where I messed up. And I am so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I am so confused. I'm so fearful of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Apprehensive mm-hmm. of what's coming.
That's right.
It's okay to bear your heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. David is not a drama queen. You know what I mean? This is an artistic expression of real emotion over very real life and death situations that David has been put through.
Mm-hmm. And he's praying to God. He's saying, God, bring my soul out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
What is this prison? The prison of feeling embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
the prison of his own mind.
We just did an entire miniseries on this show with Dr. Shaw's wife, Nicole. We did a whole series on stress, trauma, PTSD,
right,
all this kind of stuff. And we looked at some of those responses where people withdraw and they turn away from God. They lose their worship. They just sink into humiliation and shame, and they stay there for years and years and years. And I feel like we're seeing through David the example that you guys have set, whereas go to God, run to God, turn to him.
Yes.
And pour your emotions out to him. You don't pour them out online. Don't pour them out on social media and on your family.
Don't quickly run and find somebody and dump it on them. See, that's human nature.
Yeah.
I got to find someone to talk to. Talk to God.
Yes.
Talk to God.
Yeah.
You're turning to people who cannot help you.
And I love that, because God actually answers David. Like, it's not like he's just like, man, that must be really hard. I'm sorry you're going through that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most you're going to get out of me.
Yeah. No, there is an answer. And maybe we can talk about that on tomorrow's episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
To unpack exactly how God answers David and what comes of that.
100%.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. We're going to continue to explore through David's life and see how God answers him. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.